Desire your prayers again this morning. Have you ever, we'll just start this off with maybe a somewhat of a interesting or humorous example. Have you ever tried looking for something, say something in the house or something in the shop or wherever, and you look and look and look and can't find it? Or a specific example that's happened to me many times is looking for something in the refrigerator, whether it's mayonnaise or whatever it is. And I look and look and can't find it. And I know it's in there. Well, it should be. And I'll say something to Sheila, like, honey, is it? I can't find it. She's like, it's right there. I'm like, I don't see it. I'm looking all over, you know. And she comes in there and it's right here. And she just pulls, I'm like, how'd you do that? I was just looking. And I did not see that. How, you know, I think we've all had some experiences like that. We've been on both ends of it, no doubt. And it's kind of like, did they just make that magically appear? Because I know it wasn't there. But yes, it was. We just didn't see it for whatever reason. And sometimes, you know, folks will make the comment just kind of jokingly, well, just open your eyes. It's right there. Well, there's all kinds of examples we could go on about that. And we can laugh about it. And for the most part, that's, you know, it's just life. That's how we are sometimes. You're looking for something that looks a certain thing, and that's not really what it is, or you just, whatever, you just don't see it. But you know, that's all well and good to kind of laugh and joke about it a little bit, those type of things. But, you know, God is interested in things much more serious than that. God is interested in getting us to heaven. And, you know, quite frankly, there are just some things, as humans, we just don't see. Not necessarily with our literal eyes, but we don't see with our spiritual eyes. And if we could say it this way, no doubt God sometimes, although He doesn't, because He's a loving God, but He could say, well, just open your eyes, child. Your spiritual eyes, you know, your eyes of understanding, your eyes of faith, just open your eyes. It's right there. I'm there for you. But He doesn't do it that way. And I'm thankful He doesn't. It's not a laughing matter to Him. It's serious. And you think about throughout the scriptures, and we'll read a little story here in 2 Kings. But God is always interested in all mankind coming to an understanding of who He is, an understanding of the beautiful plan of salvation, an understanding of His great reward in heaven, an understanding of His blessings that He wants to bless us here on this earth. That it's not just a game that we're playing. Like I said, it's not just a laughing matter. So like, oh, okay, yeah, I found it. All right, I'm going to go. I'm away. No big deal. And next time I look, I don't see it. Well, I'm just going to ask. Hey, you know. But no, you think about it. God wants each and every one of us to open our eyes. God wants each and every one of us to get a personal relationship and an understanding of who He is and how He wants to work in our individual lives. Now I want to read a little story. We won't read the whole story, but we'll paraphrase some of it and read a few of the scriptures. It's a story of Elisha in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. It's quite an impressive story, as is a lot of cases with Elisha and Elijah and some of the other prophets. God did some powerful, demonstrated in some powerful ways how He wanted to help people, how He wanted to protect the Israelites, and even had mercy upon the heathens out there, the Gentiles. I mean, He had mercy on those too, and we'll see how He does that here today. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, it starts in verse 8, this story, and we won't read these first few scriptures, just kind of paraphrase what happened here. Basically, King of Syria wanted to go down and thump on Israelites a little bit. Not just a little bit. He wanted to defeat him, okay? Wanted to conquer him, show him who was boss. And so he had all these little plans schemed up and how they're going to do this and maybe set some ambushments here, we're going to go this way and all these tactics. And well, they had everything planned out. But everything he tried, God somehow, and we'll read here or we can just paraphrase what happened here. It's as if he whispered to Elisha saying, hey, the Syrians are over here. They're fixing to do this. And so he'd relay that information on, and the Israelites, they would go, and maybe they're already there. Or they would move over here, and move, and they're like, and it's like this chess match was not fair, you know. King of Syria had everything planned out, and everything he tried just didn't work because, as it says here, in fact, let's read that here. It says, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, this is verse 11, and said unto them, will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? He's like, is there an internal spy here? Everything we're trying, it's like, it's not happening. They're already there. They confound, this is not working. They know what we're planning. Is there an internal spy? He says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of God we serve. There's nothing that's going to take him by surprise. There's nothing he doesn't already know about. And when he chooses to, he can work behind the scenes in such a fashion like this. No, there was not an internal spy within the Syrian camp, but there was someone God was revealing these things to, Elisha, saying, hey, here's what's going on. Word for word, obviously, because every single time it didn't work. And he said, go and spy where he is. King of Syria said, okay, we're going to find this guy, this spy, this Israelite. Go find where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Now let's get realistic here. Was that really necessary to send a whole host? I don't know how many were in this little army. For one man? One man. He would have only needed, you would think, you know, just 10, 15, 20 soldiers. I mean, Elisha wasn't a warrior. But no, he says horses, chariots, and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Now, here's what's funny. This part is funny. Because they're coming by night. Already, his secrets are being revealed at night when he's discussing with his general and all these other things in his bedchamber and all the things that they're going to do the next day. And those are already being revealed anyway. So does he think that God or this other Israelite spy, Elisha, do you think he's not going to find out that, oh, by the way, they're coming right now and they're coming up such and such road or in this valley or along this line of trees, this direction, and they're going to arrive about such and such time? Elisha, no doubt, was just sitting there in his house waiting on them, knew exactly where they were at. He had a heavenly radar. You know, a little tracking system there that didn't need any electronic devices like we have today. But no. He knew this army was coming. He knew when they left. He knew where they were at. He knew when they were going to arrive. And yet, he's thinking he's so sneaky to send them by night, you know. Didn't, like I said, you can't surprise God. He knows and sees everything. So here they come by night, and they compassed the city about. Had them surrounded. Looked like, well, this is going to be easy. We got the city surrounded. No one's going to get out of here. Elisha's not going to get out of here. We know he can't go this way. He can't go tunnel out. You know, there's just one man. And we've surprised him by night. You know, here we are. And notice what it says here. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, Behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, so he goes outside and he looks at this. He's like, this is not good. These guys mean business here. They're upset and they're wanting Elisha. And he says, and the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? And it has an exclamation point after, alas, my master. And then a question, how shall we do? What are we going to do here? I think the servant was rather excited. Not in a good way. Rather excited, full of fear. And full of terror, thinking, oh no. If they want Elisha, they're going to want me too, no doubt. Okay? But this is not a good thing. You know, in life, the servant went out and he looked with his physical eyes. That's what he saw. The physical eyes. And it appeared that this was ultimate defeat. That this is it. This is the end of the road. We're done. You know, how are we going to get out of this? You know, we don't have an army that can contest that. We're just in this little city of Dothan here. It's over. But oh no. what does he say? Verse 16. This is Elisha. And he answered, fear not. That was his first words. Fear not. Because Elisha, here's the thing. Obviously Elisha didn't tell his servant, I don't think he did, what was going to happen. And because I'm sure Elisha knew that they were coming. Or he wasn't surprised that they were there. And he's saying, I can just imagine this, that throughout the night, Elisha had been corresponding with God, talking with God, and it's like God's telling him, hey, I got this thing, it's okay. And Elisha's like, okay, I'm just checking in with you, Lord. You know, we got this army. You said an army's coming, so what are we going to do? He's like, you know, I'll take care of it. Elisha's okay. So he was at peace about it. Here comes a servant running in the doors like, oh no, here's this host out here. What are we going to do? And Elisha just calmly says, fear not. You know, and you think about that. When God speaks to you about something, and He speaks to your heart, and He gives you a peace and an assurance that everything's going to be okay, though everything else around looks like it can go no other way but defeat and destruction and humility, whatever it is, you know, it looks that way from the physical side, from the literal eyes, the eyes of man, okay? That's what the servant was using at this time. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Again, in the literal sense, the physical observation here, the servant's going, I'm not a rocket science mathematician here, but two against however many hundreds or thousands is not equal. Or it's not, we're not on a high side. In other words, we're a major minority here. You do the calculation? Nope, there's still just two of us in here. How is this going to work? But he said, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You know, any one of us with God is a majority. We've heard it said, but you know, it's more than just people saying that. People have experienced that, folks. There have been children of God throughout the ages and the centuries that they were all alone. Maybe they were in a literal prison. Remember the stories of Peter and Paul and all the others? They were in prison. But there is a majority on their side because God was on their side and would send an angel or would send His Spirit to visit. Whatever it was, that's all they needed, was just God to come on the scene. Even Joseph, when he was in bondage back in the Old Testament, unfairly, unjustly in prison for years for something he didn't even commit unfairly. I mean, it was assumed. He didn't do anything wrong. But yet, God with him was a majority. The whole kingdom was against him. But God was there all along. And even with Elisha here, and with his little servant, excited, coming in saying, what are we going to do? Can we hide somewhere? He's like, fear not. It's all right. There's more with us than there with them. And then he goes on, verse 17. I love this prayer. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. The servant wasn't blind. Yes, he was. He was spiritually blind, spiritually undiscerning of what was happening, of what God was doing and fixing to do here. He says, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And I want you to stop right there. I want to write this on the board. And I want to go back to the little example you mentioned earlier about just finding something in the refrigerator or wherever else. And you know, sometimes, and maybe someone is looking so hard and so long for something, they still can't find it. And then someone comes along in a matter of seconds saying, oh, here it is. Just open your eyes. It was right there. And you know, Elisha told this young man, and asking the Lord, open his eyes. Help him to realize, help him to understand and comprehend. Open his spiritual eyes. If there's something going on here, more than what he can see with his literal eyes. And I think we'll see here in a little bit and come to understand that God was working beyond just delivering Elisha from this army. There was something more God was wanting to do here. And God was wanting to do more than just open the eyes of this young servant too. And God was wanting to do more than to verify that he's with Elisha and the Israelites. God wanted more of it than just that. That was part of it. God wanted to get the glory out of it. Yes, he did. But there was even more to it than that. You see, in a lot of battles throughout the Old Testament, in the literal warfare, there were times when God would tell his people to go in and annihilate the enemies. Kill every living person. Even the animals. Kill them all. Don't save anything. Annihilate the enemies. And they would do that. And God would deliver them with a strong hand. And they, even though they maybe were outnumbered, yet God would perform these miracles time and time again. Other times, maybe he wanted them to take just a few captive, or whatever the case was. But this was a unique situation here, the way God delivered him. So let's read on verse 17 and see what happened here. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. What did he see? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. Were these the enemy's horses and chariots? No. And it says the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know what this was? This was God's host. And really, God only needed just maybe one chariot of fire, if necessary. But I believe there was something here that God was wanting to emphasize how mighty and how strong he was. That I got some chariots of fire here, little servant and little Elisha. And this is how much you mean to me. I'm going to send this whole host of all these chariots of fire that know the enemies, they don't see him. They don't see him. But only Elisha and the servant saw him. And that's what God, that's what Elisha prayed for. That God would open the servant's heart that he could see what Elisha was seeing all along. And I could envision myself here thinking of Elisha. You know what? Those chariots of fire, maybe they were even alongside the enemy as they were marching along. And just all along the way, it's like, nope, we want this thing to come to fruition here. We want this thing to happen. And sure enough, here comes the enemy. And then it's like the chariots of fire, they just encompass everyone else. And then around, it says around, and the chariots of fire, around Elisha. And we can imagine all kinds of what that may have looked like. But to me, it really doesn't matter. It was the fact that they got the revelation that God was there. And that nothing was going to happen to them unless God allowed it. And they weren't going to have to worry about it. We got these chariots of fire here. Like, and I could just imagine after he saw that, that I could imagine a servant going, wow. Oh, okay. Now I understand why you said, fear not. Now it makes sense. Now I see. But it took Elisha pray. God, Elisha already saw it. Okay. God had already revealed himself to Elisha. His eyes were already opened. He's saying, oh Lord, open the servant's eyes here. Because he doesn't see, he doesn't understand. And God was faithful to do that. And you consider what happened after this. This gets pretty amazing. Because you would think that with these chariots of fire, that it's as if they, whether they stayed invisible or whether they actually came true lifelike, God could have done any one of those things. And these angels and these chariots of fire could just come along and just engulfed all the enemy's chariots and all those soldiers and just annihilated right there. If he so chose to. But God didn't do it that way. That's what's amazing here. God didn't perform that way. Notice what happens in verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You know, this is something else. Instead of killing all the enemy, the host of the enemy there, just strike them blind. Well, that's pretty effective. Because how can you fight your enemy? How do you know he's really your enemy and not your buddy? You know, your fellow soldier next to you. You don't know who you're going to... So you're not going to fight, right? They couldn't. I mean, common sense would tell you shouldn't. They struck them with blindness. They couldn't see. That's pretty effective. But it goes beyond that. He smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So you know what he did. He said, yeah, you guys follow me. Keep close here. We don't want you stumbling and falling off the course, but kind of lock arms with each other and kind of hang on here, and we're going to go where you really need to go. And he took them. Says, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Uh-oh. we got a problem here. And notice what happens. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He's like, I'm ready to do business here. Perfect golden opportunity. All of a sudden, you know, they're straggling in here. They're blind and they don't know where they're at. And all of a sudden, God opens their eyes and it's like, oh. But what does he say? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. What? This didn't make sense. Are you off your rocker? I could imagine the king of Israel saying that. No, Elisha's like, this is what I want you to do. Okay. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. This is quite a story. And albeit it is rather unusual, God didn't always work that way. But in this situation, I believe there was a greater message here. Because he spoke earlier, Elisha prayed for his servant. Lord, open his eyes. And you know, I think there was a message God was wanting to get across to these Syrians. God wanted their spiritual eyes opened as well. Think about that. How else would they be able to see and know and understand the power and the love of God Almighty? And look what He did. No doubt they're thinking, as soon as their eyes were open and they're in the enemy's camp, they're like, oh no, my life is over. But no, God had mercy on them. And why? I believe God wanted to open their eyes as well to the power and the majesty and the love and the mercy of God. And you think about it. You can take this in all kinds of different directions. But I believe this, you could say, would be a type and shadow of salvation, what Jesus came to do for all mankind. We deserve to die. But Jesus interceded for us, say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, just like these Syrians, they were just following orders. We're going to come, we're going to take Elisha. And God said, no, you're not. I got another plan. And then he takes him and strikes him with blindness and thinking, oh no, we're all going to die. And God's saying, no, you're not. I got a better plan for you. Leads him to the enemy's camp. And then he opens their eyes like, oh yes, we're going to die. And God's saying, no, you're not. He wanted their spiritual eyes enlightened and opened, that they could see the power and the majesty and the forgiveness. Again, looking down through the ages of what He wanted to do with mankind to demonstrate His love for all mankind. He's not willing that any should perish. And you know, I believe that's exactly what He was doing with these Syrians. And sent them home. Did He send them home beaten? Did He send them home starved? No. He fed them. He didn't even have to do that. Fed them and sent them back home. You know what? I believe on the way back home, their eyes were open to who God really was. Because there were so many miracles took place that day. And I don't know that these Syrian men, the army, I don't know that they ever really saw the chariots of fire that Elisha and his servants saw. But I believe they saw God's grace and His mercy demonstrated that day. And God's love for them. That was powerful. That was quite a testimony. Things could have been totally different. Those men, every single one, could have laid there dying at the hands of the Israelites. And in a lot of, you can think about it, justly so. Because they were meaning harm upon Elisha and upon the Israelites. They kept picking on the Israelites all the times before this. And God could have said, enough! Now here's your time, we're going to annihilate you. But no, God demonstrated mercy and kindness and love to them through the hand of Elisha. And you know, I could imagine that servant of Elisha's going, wow, I've never seen this before. Just think about this, folks. I want to read some more scriptures in Isaiah to talk about this. But you know, the enemy of our souls desires, as the scripture says, to steal and to kill and to destroy and to annihilate us. But God has a different plan. God is on our side to begin with, and God's going to work for us. God is going to send the chariots of fire, and maybe He uses the chariots or maybe He doesn't. Maybe He uses an example like this to strike the enemy blind. Maybe He doesn't defeat him, you know, like knocking all the swords out of their hands or frightening them with the thunder or chasing them off with bees and hornets and all those things or all kinds of things God had used throughout the ages there. But no, this time, struck them with blindness, led them look like utter defeat. But no, God had mercy. And you think about, for us individually, put ourselves in the servant's shoes. No doubt we can all reflect and think upon the times where it seemed like this is it. We're done. But we're looking with the eyes of man. We're not looking with the eyes of faith. That's what Elisha prayed. Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And you know, God would have it be that with us as well. That God is wanting our spiritual eyes to be open and to realize that God is fighting for us. That God does have His hand on us. And God is protecting and shielding us. God is working miracles. Though maybe we don't see it all the time, yet He is. And it's through the chariots of fire, or it's through the blindness, whatever means He chooses to confound the enemy. God will do that. He's creative. I want to read some scriptures in Isaiah. Isaiah 35. Talking about Christ's kingdom, what Jesus was coming to set up here on earth in a spiritual sense, His spiritual kingdom. I want to read just a few verses here. Isaiah 35. We'll just start with verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall be a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And you think about this. What a beautiful kingdom God set up for all of us. It wasn't just for the Israelites. It was for the Jew and the Greek, all the heathen. It was for all mankind. The invitation was open to all. And that includes you and I. We're Gentiles. We don't deserve it. We're of the lineage of Abraham, literally speaking. Okay? So we don't deserve the blessings and promises of God. But yet, God demonstrated through this example of the Syrian army. I believe He was pointing towards, and again, this is back in Isaiah. It was still before Jesus came. But this was pointing even more definite towards the kingdom of Christ that God was going to set up for us to enjoy here. And what does it say? The eyes of the blind shall be opened. Yes, you know, Jesus did heal, literally healed some that were blind. But it was more than that. It was the spiritual blindness He wanted to heal. Okay? To enlighten their hearts and minds that they were actually fighting against God. That's exactly what Saul of Tarsus was doing. He was kicking against the pricks. But it wasn't until on the road to Damascus, a divine revelation, God opened his eyes. And Jesus spoke to him and said, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul didn't realize it. until Jesus revealed himself to him. And he opened his eyes. And he saw and he realized, oh, have mercy on me. And he was a changed man after that. He saw the power of God demonstrated and the mercies of God demonstrated. God could have annihilated Saul as well. And he deserved it. But he didn't. God had a better plan. I want to use you now to fight in my kingdom against the very things you were doing. Open your eyes. That's what he was desiring for Saul. And more than that, throughout the ages, God has had a people that were faithful to his cause. And all along the ages, there have been enemies that have come against God's people to destroy them in one way or the other. Whether it's just to, whether it's to imprison them, whether it's to make martyrs out of them, or whether it was to isolate them, or whether it was to intimidate them, or do all those things to try to get them to recant against God and to give up on the Lord. And yet God would help them to open their eyes. You remember Stephen when he was being stoned? That's what happened to him. He saw something. His eyes were opened. He saw what God was doing. What a beautiful picture there. And you know, with you and I, God wants to open our eyes as well to what he is doing. It says here, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That we can hear the message of the gospel of what God is trying to do for us and all mankind to hear and understand. And then the lame man shall leap as an hart. In other words, we're able to be up and doing for the Lord. Where before we're crippled in a spiritual sense, we're handicapped. There's things we can't do because of this and because of that and this hang up and this weakness and this fear and this doubt. And God's saying, I want to heal those things. And maybe there's some unforgiveness and maybe some resentment or some bitterness or some whatever things that can hinder us from being what God would have us to be. And God's saying, I want to heal that too. I want to open your spiritual eyes and give you a hope that you can be delivered of those things. You don't have to walk around like the Syrian army, blind, just hanging on to one another. I have no idea what we're doing here. And then for our eyes to be open and say, oh no, this is it. But then God to say, no, I'm just going to feed you and send you back home. I want you to experience my love. I want you to experience my forgiveness. I want you to experience my power. And don't you forget it. You know, I dare say every single one of those soldiers never forgot that experience. And then it goes for the servant of Elisha. He wasn't the enemy. He was on God's side. He didn't realize it to that extent. But you know, I dare say that servant never forgot that experience either. I say he was marked for life. I would say that was an experience that he would tell to his children and his grandchildren. And you know, with you and I, God would lead us through life, not just haphazardly and just kind of doing this every once in a while. I'll come down and do that. No, God has a plan. Okay. God has a beautiful plan not to forsake us, as we heard earlier this morning. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to make us look like fools that we trusted him in vain. No. God has a plan to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes and our spiritual understanding to comprehend what he's trying to do for all souls, beyond just our own souls. But it may be for the souls of your enemies. The one that's persecuting you. The one that's mistreating you. The one that misunderstands you. They could be the Syrian army. And God may be the one that has you
to feed and give them water and send them home. You see what I'm saying? God may use you, but you can't get that until your spiritual eyes are opened. You see, even the king of Israel there, he wanted like, shall we smite him? God had to reveal himself to him too. But it was through Elisha, because Elisha already saw, he understood. He was at peace about it all. He knew what God was doing. He saw the chariots of fire. He's like, it's going to be okay, guys. You don't have to worry about it. And not a soul, not a person lost their life. That's amazing. That's the power of God. You think about it. These were carnal men back then. They were ready for a fight. He's like, no, it's not happening today. You're going to eat, you're going to drink, and you're going to go back home to your families. That's exactly what happened. Only God could do that. But you know what? It's going to take a divine revelation, a spiritual understanding from God for us to comprehend that that's even possible. But you know, it is. And it's more than just what we've seen written on these pages here. It is the lives of those that we have lived with and our own time frame, our own lifetime, people we have known that they've experienced. They've had their eyes opened and they saw, and it changed their life forever. They no longer went back to those ways of sin. They no longer went back to the ways of doubt and confusion and fear and intimidation and all those. They didn't go back to those things. They went forward. They pressed on. They marched forward. They saw something. It's as if the chariots of fire led them on to the Lord and the places God would have them to go in victory. And maybe sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, God would use us to feed our enemies and to get a message across to them that God loves them and that God had mercy on them. Just like God loves us and has had mercy upon us. That this is the message of the gospel, that we share that message of hope and opportunity to all mankind, whether it's to your companion, whether it's to your child, your grandchild, extended family, your neighbor, your boss, sometimes even brother and sister in Christ. The devil can twist things to make us think that they are enemy. But they're not. What's the scripture say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the spiritual understanding that God's trying to get across to us. Open our eyes. That we're not here to fight amongst and between each other. I'm not saying we're doing that here this morning. But the point is, sometimes Satan will come along and make us think that that's what's happening. No. God is fighting for every single one of us. And God would have us to realize, to have our eyes open and see the chariots of fire round about us. And that could be as simple as the testimonies of those that have gone on before us. They were burning within their bosom and they shared those testimonies with us. And we were touched with their lives like, wow, I want some of that faith. I want some of that love. I want some of that kindness. That could be the chariots of fire around us to demonstrate God is there with us. And he's saying, this is for you too. You see what I'm saying? God wants that same spirit of love burning within us to again demonstrate to all mankind that this is God's love. That this is God's creation. This is God's plan of salvation. To bring deliverance to all that are oppressed. To all that are brokenhearted. To all that are, as the scripture says here, that are blind, that are deaf, that have issues, they're lame, they're handicapped. There's things they can't do in life on their own. Until God comes on the scene. And he reveals and he turns that little spotlight of his word and his spirit upon our lives saying, this is what I can do for you, child. And he sheds a light on that and said, here you go. Here's something I can do. Remember so-and-so, they testified what God did for them. And that can be a witness and a testimony to you and I that God can do it for us too. What a beautiful plan of salvation God has demonstrated and created for you and I. And what's it say on here? And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Folks, that's what God has in store for all of us. The sorrow and the sighing and all those things, and hanging our heads and defeat, all those things, that's where the enemy is working. Because all we're seeing is the enemy encompassed around us. And all we see is their chariots and their horses. And that's all we're hearing. That's all we're seeing. That's all we're experiencing. And God is saying, I got more than that for you, child. I want to deliver you from that. And open your spiritual eyes to see what I have in store for you. And that is to give sight to the blind. And ears opened to the deaf. What a beautiful picture. And that's when the joy, that's what it's saying here, return with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. What a beautiful thing. You know, everyone in this story with the Syrians, I believe everyone went home happy. Think about that. Everyone experienced the power of God that day. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to experience the power of God in our individual lives. But what's it going to take? It's going to take, just like the servant Elisha, we're going to have to stand still and allow God to work on our spiritual eyes and our spiritual understanding. We can't just keep running around and just kind of, in this chaotic and frantic mode. It's like, no. Elisha, I could imagine Elisha tapping him on the shoulder and kind of, he's like, fear not. It's okay, servant. God has a plan here. Lord, would you open his eyes? So that's my prayer here this morning for all of us. That God would open our eyes. That He is working and moving in our lives, even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't feel like it. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on those chariots of fire. And though it looks like this is kind of foolish, we're just leading the enemy over here, and then what are we going to do? Let God work. Stand still. What's the scripture say with Moses? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let God move. Let God work. He's doing something special. But we have to allow the Lord to do the work on us first. To open our eyes to what He's doing for each and every one of us. You pray for me that I would do that for myself. Amen.